I don't know about you, but I need to focus. I need to focus and refocus on Christmas right now. I am not. I don't know. So there's some years I just get into the decorating and the lights and you know, filling our house or my office with decorations. And the other years, it's almost like, I don't even want to bother, you know? Because for me, Christmas is all about Christ coming into the world. But some days, some years, I celebrate, you know, all the paraphernalia and all the look and the smell of Christmas. And other years, not so much. I don't know about you, but this year, I need to focus and refocus on Christmas. In some way, my heart hasn't been into it. I mean, this year has been the year where the seasons don't feel like the seasons, right? It doesn't. Do we just have fall? Did fall just come and go? It's winter almost, and I just in California, it's confusing enough with the weather, but the whole feel, how people are interacting, and how it didn't feel like Halloween. It didn't feel like Thanksgiving completely. Now our family's canceling all kinds of events, not our just immediate family, but our greater family, because of all that's going on with COVID, and it's just weird. It's weird. 2020 is the weird year. So we need for things to begin to look normal again on some level, and we can truly enter into the spirit of Christmas. We can decide. Whatever the circumstances around us, however things look and however they smell, whatever's going on socially and politically, we can decide we're going to celebrate and we're going to focus. And the focus is Jesus Christ coming into the world. So all this in mind, I want you to think about this with me. Three things to remember this Christmas season. So at Cambria Vineyard Church, where I've been pastor for more than 20 years, I can't even believe that. Can we go back and start over? I mean, just hit go and go back. 20 plus years. The holidays have been a time of celebration, time of reflection on Christ's birth, a time of giving, a time of acknowledging God's infinite love for us by sending his son, all that he's poured out into our lives. One quote I have here about Christmas: the essence of Christmas is that we simply and humbly give ourselves just as God gave sacrificially to us through his son. It's a season of giving of ourselves just as God sacrificially gave his son. So with all that in mind and the weirdness of realities of COVID hitting us all where we live, I wanted to share three principles with you we can all remember and should remember as we enter into this Christmas season. All right? So I've got a new iPad here. Yay! I'm still learning how to use it and hold it and all that stuff, so I'm used to using this thing, so we'll see if that helps. All right. All right, so three principles today we want to look at. The first is keep it simple. Keep it simple. You may have heard of the KISS method, right? Although this is a, you know, principle of leadership. It's the other S is stupid. So keep it simple, stupid is the acronym. But keep it simple. Keep the season simple. This is what we want to do. We want to focus on the simplicity of what Christmas is about. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. You know this because of Charlie Brown's Christmas, all right? These Bible verses I'm about to read, you've heard them, but think about them, internalize them. Verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And of course, in modern translations, it says that there was a census. This was a census. So the people have always understood what taxes are. They might not understand what a census is, so they translated the King James taxes. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is, if you think about this, if you stop and think about this, this is some of the most mind-boggling bits of verse in the whole Bible. The God of heaven has entered the world by becoming a baby, emptying himself of everything. Here's the point. Jesus was born into some pretty sparse circumstances. In his earthly existence, the son of two poor Galileans, he lived a life of humility and simplicity. And that humility and simplicity became a key element of his ministry here on earth. We try to reflect these same Christ-like attitudes here at CVC. None of us have arrived. None of us are better than anyone else. This is not the place for the perfect people to come and gather. That's a different church. It's up the street. It's not us. We are far from perfect. We have not arrived. We're all beggars that have found the bread of life in Jesus Christ, and we want other people to have that bread. We want to tell the other beggars where the bread is. So it is in this simplicity of the gospel, this humility of the gospel, that we want people talking to each other and helping each other and growing together. In the Christmas season at CVC, the holiday season's really starting back in the day when we had way more kids here. We'd have the Harvest Festival and then at Halloween time, and then Thanksgiving is always a great big deal. And it was a big deal this year too, just really different. And it's a season of giving. Normally, it's a time of celebrating the beauty of Christ's birth in our small groups, a time of sharing food and goodies and Christmas carols and hearing one another's hearts and praying for each other. However, not everyone can participate in these gatherings right now. There are people, we have friends who have immune systems that are compromised and they can't be in small groups, and we miss them. We miss connecting with them, and they're the right ones. They should protect themselves, absolutely. No guilt on anybody. But this is a very strange time. Part of what we do is we connect, and that's part of the simplicity of who we are, and so we're trying to do this in new ways. So this is why, even now as I speak, the leadership of this church is trying to think through how to best meet this great challenge that we're all going through together. How do we do this? How do we reinvent this? Folks, there have been historically these punctuated moments that everything changed. 500 years ago, Martin Luther came along in the Reformation of the church to reform a church that had fallen into corruption, to reform a church. The Reformation started just as this great technological breakthrough happened in history. The printing press was invented. If there was no printing press, there would have been no Reformation. Well, now we are in a era where we're forced not to be with other people because of a pandemic, and we have this technology right at our fingertips, the internet. And so, in all the various ways that we can do that, we have changed our game plan here. We have moved up our game. We have become have more of a presence now through our website and Facebook and all the other social media. And this is just the beginning. We are beginning to believe that God is using this. He's using this tragic moment in history to change how we do things, to get us out of our comfort zone so that we can reach people who will never otherwise darken the door of a church. And we're grateful to God for that, that this church has the wherewithal. There's a lot of churches that have, you know, they're struggling to find a path forward in this. So we're trying to think outside the box, so you will see changes as we move along here. One of the things is we will always be online as a church. The church service will always be live streamed in some form. But more on this as we figure out how to do this, but expect more changes in the coming new year. We're trying to think of ways where there can be connection, even if people are at home and they're online. How can people connect? And we're going to figure that out together. More on that in the coming new year. But we want to keep it simple. The simplicity of Christmas. I just want to say, by the way, please forgive me if we've been at all slow to respond in a greater way with this pandemic. Just like you, this is all new to us, and it's unexpected for us, and it's hard for me too. It's emotionally hard. Please be praying for us to find that greater path forward together. Okay? We want to grow, and we want to be an influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, the world is being shaken now, and folks, I think we've just seen the beginning of it. I don't want to depress anybody. But the good news is God is greater than the shaking that's going on. So we're going to enter in to what he's doing. So in the past, our church learned if we wanted to grow, that we need to grow smaller as well as bigger. That means getting people into small groups, getting people connected, getting people to find things that they each person likes, and where they connect in what they do and how they do things. And so we want to continue to grow smaller, even if we can't meet as we normally did. We want our members and visitors to experience the same kind of fellowship that was available when we all began to grow in the things of God back years ago. And now, even with this circumstance, we want to find that way forward together. So no matter how far along we may have gotten in the past, we never want to take for granted the importance of each person. You're important to us. We pray for you by name, even if we haven't connected, even verbally over the phone. If there's been distance, we want to find a bridge to bridge that gap, that distance. We want to encourage everybody in their spiritual journey. We don't want to see one person lost because of the distancing, the social distancing, the physical distancing during this time of pandemic and lockdown. We want to find a way to flourish. So one of the reasons I'm so gratified by the outpouring of support for our Thanksgiving outreach, which we've talked about the numbers, 480 Thanksgiving meals bought at local restaurants and delivered to local folks and lives touched in a loving way. One of the reasons I love this is it's helping us to touch other lives in a very simple way, a practical way. So we'll be helping in this season of Christmas. We'll be helping, we're already starting to, struggling families with practical, loving support, financially, emotionally, and spiritually in the weeks ahead. Please be praying for this. Folks, the wave that is coming, I don't think anybody's ready for. So we need to have the courage to step in and at the very least pray for folks. It may very well be that the Church of Jesus Christ in America will go back to silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, and then we pray and we see the power of God. So, simplicity. Simple isn't just beautiful, it's powerful. I want you to keep this in mind as you make your holiday plans. You don't have to cram your days full of activities. Maybe that's what's normal for Christmas for you, and now everything's getting canceled, everything's getting put on hold, everything's getting diminished and made smaller. But you don't have to make it complicated. It doesn't have to be big and lavish. Consider what the Bible tells us. The Bible says this, quote, in Proverbs 19:21, the Word of God says that the human heart may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. Close quote. We need to remember, as things are unfolding in our world, that the purpose of God will be established. Despite, some people are telling me, hey, the governments are doing this, and there's people doing that, and there's there's schemes for world domination, and I don't doubt that human beings have the capacity for such scheming, but folks, the purposes of God will be established. Doesn't matter who a billionaire is or what political forces are at work, these things do not matter. God is greater than these things. So set aside your fears. The holiday season, keep it simple so that you're free to serve those in need and celebrate with those you love. All right, that's number one, keep it simple. Number two is be there, be present, be there. We give love to people at Christmas when we show up in their lives. The greatest present you can give is your presence, right? Serving and celebrating in the name of Jesus. I'm just so grateful to God I live in the era that somebody invented the pause button, right? And in the old days, for those that are too young to remember, when I was a kid, you'd be watching television and it was like the mountain stream. It was coming down the mountain and it was going by. And if somebody interrupted your focus on what was happening, it was gone. You never got to see it. It was done. I know it's hard to believe now, but we live in the age of the pause button, and what a great gift that is for me, giving attention to you. You walk into the room, hit the pause button, I can even hit the off button, and I can focus on you and look you in the eyes and talk to you and have relationship with you and know that I'm not going, I'm missing the important part of the movie. The sporting event, they were just going to make a touchdown, whatever the thing is that wants your attention. I have control now. I am going to hit that pause button, take that football team and set that down and then talk to the person in the room. Presence. Be there. In the fullness of time, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The fullness of time, physical presence of the living God in the person of Jesus Christ, to be present with us. God with us. That's the name, one of God's names in the Old Testament, Emmanuel. God with us. Present. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 8, the one who does not love does not know God. Wow. Right there, that's sit and meditate on that for a little bit. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 9, by this the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him, close quote. The presence of God in us makes the presence of God available to the people around us. 1 John 3:18 says this, dear children, these are children of God. That's if you've said yes to God, you're a child of God. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions, close quote. One way we tell our families and friends that we love them is by giving them our focused attention. Attention says, I value you. I value enough to give you this precious asset, my time. When you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. You can always make more money, but you cannot always have more time. Time is the most precious commodity. Isn't it ironic that at Christmas we spend our money lavishly, yet spend our time like misers? We keep our schedules so full and hectic traditionally that we often have difficulty showing up with focused attention in the lives of the people around us that we love. Well, guess what? Now we don't get to be hectic. They're outlawing us being hectic, all right? but they're also outlawing us connecting in person. That's hard. Folks, I've been really feeling convicted about all this recently, about not giving focused attention to the people around me that really, you know, I want them to have that. But I let these things crowd into my life and my mind, and I lose focus. And God is saying to me, and I think to us, he's saying, give people your attention, your focus in this season, this Christmas season. Maybe it's just my problem. For those who can relate, I just want to encourage you, we can change this. You see, Jesus showed his love by being there. He gave people time and focused attention when they needed his help, when they needed his comfort, when they needed his protection, and when they needed an answer to a perplexing problem or difficulty, when they just needed time with him, he was there. So one of our aims at Christmas should be showing up in the lives of those we love. Here's a trap I fall into. If some time has gone by and I haven't connected with a friend or a family member, maybe I connected with them really good, and then I thought, okay, in another few days or in a week or whatever, we'll connect again, I'll call, or we'll, you know, do some kind of FaceTime thing on social media or something, and I think that's going to happen, and, you know, history forces its way into my life and pushes that back, and I miss a deadline I've made for myself mentally to be with that person on some level, to connect with that person, a family member, a friend. And then I think, oh, well, yeah, maybe I let that slide and I shouldn't have. Maybe circumstances kept me from connecting here. And I start to feel that guilt devil on my shoulder and hear him whispering, oh, it's too late. You call them now, you're just going to remind them that you haven't called. They're just going to go, oh yeah, he was going to call. But now he expects me to talk to him? You see how the devil works, right? They're going to think, oh, he really doesn't care. If he cared, he would have called when he said he was going to. It's too late, the devil will say. There's been too much time, he'll say. There's too much in between. Just give it up. Just forget it. If they really need something, they'll call you. And so the temptation is to disconnect, to set it aside, to not deal with that pain of stepping in to the situation. Just give up. It's too late. I'm here to tell you, no. It's never too late. The fact is, whenever we do reach out to people's lives and interact with them, whenever we give them our attention, they're touched in a positive way. Most of these other stories spinning in our minds are stories we make up ourselves, as Pastor Denise has talked about at other times, and so brilliantly. These are stories that we make up in our own minds, and they start spinning in our minds and hearts, and then they create a wall. And folks, if there is a wall that we run into, just run into it till you knock it down. Knock down that wall. Let your outreach, your touch, your attempt to call, to make that connection, to write that letter, to visit that person, that the first step in knocking down that wall and connecting with that person with love. Folks, all of this will make your Christmas better. It'll make your Christmas brighter. Connecting with people is what the season is about. I really appreciate gifts, but I'll tell you what, when I was younger, it was gifts, okay? Honestly, what gifts am I getting? What gifts am I giving? You know, oh, card's great. I'll set them aside and then read them later. It's the opposite now. The first thing I do is read the card. Like, what is it, you know? It might just be a very simple thinking of you or love and then their name, and it's like, wow. That connects. So, your attention, being there. That's principle number two. Principle number three, give with delight. with delight. God uses giving as an antidote for materialism. And so we live in a materialistic world, and right now even that's being shaken. The foundation of materialism is being shaken in our globe like no time in 80 years. It was 80 years ago that we had a Great Depression, and the global economic system was shaken, and now we're there again. But listen to the word of God. Listen to Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. There it says this, quote, "The word of God declares, bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored." That's called church, by the way, all right? "Doing this will teach you always to reverence the Lord your God." Wait a minute, what? Doing this, doing what? Doing this thing will teach you to always reverence, or to have fear, some translations say, or awe and reverence, some translations say. Doing this will cause you to have fear and awe and reverence for the Lord your God. What is it? What? Wait. What will do that for me? Bring the tithe to the place of worship. Giving to God does this. Now, it may very well be some of you are listening to this message and you're not part of this church. You know what? Don't worry about giving money to us. If you don't know us well enough to trust us, then that's perfectly fine not to give to what we're doing here. Give to the poor. Find somebody to give to. You know, in third world nations right now, the economic chain goes down to the third world, and they're the ones that get hurt. They grow something like rice, and if somebody's not buying that rice, you know, and it's not going up the food chain, as it were, to first world countries, those people who can't sell their rice starve. Find somebody to give to. World Relief or World Vision or some organization, give to an orphanage in the third world, but give. Say, "Lord, this money is yours. I'm going to give it to you." If you give 2% of your monthly income every week, all right, 2% of your monthly income every week, you'll be almost tithing. Almost tithing. 2%, and if you live in America historically in these last 50 and 60 and 70 years, you've been able to do that. If you give that, the book says, then your awe and reverence for the Lord will be taught to you. God will bless you in ways you can't comprehend. So this is number three, give, and give with delight. It's a delightful thing to help people who are starving not to starve. The children who can't have an education to be educated. People that don't have water wells to have water wells. If you want to give to our church, hallelujah, we give to these things too. And already, and we will continue to do that. But if you are not part of this church and you don't know us well enough to trust us, find a way to give. Don't find an excuse not to give. That's empty, folks. It's an empty life that cannot give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, you must each, listen to this, the word of God says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. That's the Bible telling you, it's up to you. You get to decide. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Isn't that a great verse? I'm not going to pressure you. Don't let anybody pressure you to give. But for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Decide in your heart that you have the power to give, and you're going to do that. I am powerful. I can give. And I'm going to delight in giving. And I am going to give. I'm going to give to the Union Rescue Mission that helps people get off the street. Hallelujah. I'm going to give to... I mean, there's so much need, folks. There's so many opportunities to give. And it doesn't say give everything you have. God has told some people to do that. But most of us, he says, yeah, start with 10%. 2% of your monthly income every week. All right? You'll never miss it. and you'll start having the blessing. You see, Jesus said there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we don't have this verse out in here, I don't think, but there Jesus is quoted as saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. So here's an important point to remember this Christmas. Giving is a matter of willingness, not wealth. It is an attitude, not an amount. God does not want your possessions. He wants your heart. How do we know that, Gary? What do you mean he wants your heart with giving? Yes, when Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount was talking about giving, he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He says, lay up your treasure in heaven. When you give to God, when you write that check, it goes to that third world orphanage. They're not going to give anything back to you. You might get a picture. You might get a little letter. We get those letters. I'll tell you what makes us, so wonderful, getting that letter from the little girl who is getting an education. Thank you, Papa Gary. So awesome. That's the blessing. Lay up treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Folks, we've replaced true, heartfelt, delightful giving with a hollow materialism that keeps us all overspending during the holidays. Instead, we should give from our hearts. In fact, as a pastor, I would like to see you expand your definition of giving beyond the financial. Quite honestly, you might not have anything to give. You might be broke. You have your time. You have your talents. You have your energy. I'll tell you what, the time, energy, and talent people make everything happen at this church. We have two people today that are normally here early to set up our sound system and our video system and to get us online. Get two people out this week. And we miss their doing. Their doing it is so valuable to us. Now, people stepped in. We have a wonderful team of people. What can I do? How can we help? And we got it done. Hallelujah. God bless their health. Bless Mike's health, bless Jackie's health in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for them. But folks, if you give your time, energy, and treasure, your talents, that's so much more valuable. So much more could be said. People come here. There was a family that came here yesterday, Saturday. It was cold. They're in town. They have their kids. They're bored. What can we do? Can we look at your playground? Sure. They got up there, and the kids were running around. They were throwing balls and shooting baskets and sliding down the slide and giggling, and I'm thinking, yes! But, you know, people make that a beautiful spot. There are people that paint that and clean that and mow that, and we have this park here. It used to be a field with weeds, and now it's this beautiful park, and that's somebody's time, energy, treasure, and talent that's touching lives in a positive way. How about you? What are your gifts? What are your talents? Imagine how much you could bless others if you simply shared those with others. You don't even have to give something away to share delightfully with others. For instance, you may have a garage full of tools, and as a gift, you may make available to your neighbor. Or how about that empty vacation spot you have that may be a wonderful respite for a friend, a neighbor, an acquaintance, a distant relation. Folks, when you don't share, you're keeping others from experiencing the fullness of God. In fact, you're being rather a poor steward of all that God has given you. So there's another reason we need to learn generosity in giving. Folks, it builds faith. It builds faith. As we look to be generous with the world, everything we have is a good and perfect gift from our Heavenly Father, as it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, who lavishes on us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ, Ephesians 1, 3. So I'm blending two verses here. Let me try that one more time. Everything we have is a good and perfect gift from our Heavenly Father who lavishes on us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because we belong to Christ. Folks, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Given it shall be given unto you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's principle number three. So these are the three principles. Keep it simple. Be there. Be present with others. And three, give with delight. And your Christmas will be beautiful. The essence of Christmas is that we simply and humbly give of ourselves just as God generously and specifically gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, with that good news at the center of your life, we can generously show up in the lives of others. We can spend time with them, give them our attention, our talents, our money, possession, and friendship, and we can give those with delight. Amen. I want to pray with you now, and then we'll sing a closing song together. I want to pray with you about these things because the world just feels weird and disconnected right now, and there's a shaking that's going on, and God is at work in the midst of this. So, Father, we come to you. We thank you that the gospel is simple. We make it complex and complicated and confusing at times, but you, Lord God, in the simplicity of a baby came into the world. And so, Lord, we want to follow your example. And if this is you today, you're going, yeah, my life's really complicated, too complicated. Just, Lord, we ask now, I ask and we ask for the simplicity of walking in your light as a child of God. Help us, Lord. And then we ask for the grace, Lord, to be present. Thank you for the pause button, Lord. Thank you for that. Can we pause the things in our life around us so we can give the attention and focus to the people around us that need it, that they'll know that they're loved by us, that we see them, that we see them. And Father, we just ask now for the joy of giving to be our purpose this Christmas. Time, talent, energy, treasure, all of that stuff, we lay it at your feet, and help us to be joyful givers and deliberate givers and delighted givers of all that you have for us. Yes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.